Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Sir, give it up for the worship team one more time. They kill it. Man, if I could tell you guys, getting to this sermon today was crazy. Wrestled with God a lot, and it was fun. But I'm excited for what I get to share. And as always, if you're on my Facebook, you know I reach out to all the followers and say, hey, pray God's word gets glorified and not my own opinion. And God just smashed my opinion today. So this is God's word, you guys. Never lets me say what I want. So I enjoy it. Let's pray, because I want to set us free. There's a purpose. I want to set us free of stress today. If anyone's feeling that stress during this season, I want you to have that in mind throughout this whole sermon. And we're going to get set free of some stress. And we're going to let it go. We're going to let God take it. Because I know some of us, we're all dealing with it. Some of us carry it out in the open and the rest of us suppress it, right? But it comes out either way. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray right now that your name be glorified. We sung that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome to move today. You are welcome to change our lives. We surrender to you today, Father. Help us. Help us to not stress and worry and trust and lean on you and you alone. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. Okay. So the reason I said I wrestle with this one, because this is just me up here telling you guys how God has been disciplining me, because I have failed in this area. So I knew I had to be a little vulnerable. So this is how it happened. Bear with me for this opener. Bear with me, because I got to use this life story to get into our Bible story, okay? So my son had a birthday party last weekend, and we were prepping for it, and me and him were going to get haircuts. I schedule my haircut every single time. You have to schedule it in an app. I schedule it every single time. I schedule it correctly. I get there on time, and I get my haircut. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. She scheduled it this time. She tells me, you have an appointment 2 and 2:30, you and your son. So I get me and my son, and we go at 2, because that's when our appointment is, because my wife told me my appointment was at 2. I get there, and my barber, Michael, he's not there. And I'm like, okay. So I instantly, that husband in me, and I go, Cass, check your phone right now. What time is the appointment? Of course, it's at 2:30. And she goes, she nonchalantly, woman of God, no reason to panic. She goes, yeah, it's at 2:30. You're there early. Go get some candy or something. The natural response. But that's not me. Me, I'm just, oh, and I would never disrespect my wife. I never tell her this to her face. But fellas, you guys can agree. In my head, I gave it to her. And I let her know where she had failed, but only in my head. She would never know this till now, sorry. But I lost it, and I'm sitting in the parking lot. My son is in his car seat behind me, not knowing what I'm going through, but my mood has changed. I've been affected. I'm just frustrated, irritated. He's like, Daddy, why aren't we going in? And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to say because your mom. So I'm like, we're here too early. And as I'm sitting here frustrated, I'm like, J2, you are representing Christ to your son right now. What are you doing? And God showed me, and I'm sitting here probably complaining to God about my wife, but God showed me, he goes, you have a problem when you didn't control things. When you weren't in control. Like, I felt like if I would have made the appointment, right, fellas, you're with me. If I would have made the appointment, it would have been right, it would have been on time, I would have checked my phone. But honestly, multiple times, I've done the very same thing. But it was because she did it. She did it to me. And I realize I have this control issue. So of course, you guys, I hope some of you are like me. Sorry if you are. I go through my whole life in my head, and I'm like, gosh, I have a control issue since I was like 14. And it goes all the way back. And I go, okay, God, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this control issue thing. And little did I know, after I prepped the whole sermon yesterday, and I'm ready to talk about letting my control go and letting God control my life. I was so ready. And then he brought me to today, where he's going to walk me through me losing my absolute mind today at 3 o'clock. Let me explain. Today's sermon, as we walk through it, I'm going to be going through the story of Jesus' death. And I'm going to be going over some of the people, how they acted in the situation of Jesus' death and how they handled themselves. Did they handle themselves how they would naturally handle it? Or did they handle themselves the way Jesus would have told them to handle it? So that's where we're going to be going. But I wanted to, like I said, I want to take away our stress today. I want you guys to focus on taking away our stress. And I'm really going to focus on this holiday season of keeping up with the Joneses, making sure that your kids have the gifts, making sure that you give everyone the proper gifts, and stressing yourself out to fulfill whatever goal you set for this season to do what you think is right for Christmas, and letting it stress you, and letting your bank account stress you, and letting you not being able to do enough stress you. I have a mother who does this a lot, and it drives me nuts. I try to tell her all the time, you don't have to get me anything, right? We've all experienced this. So I'm talking about the materialistic things and how we church, you guys need to let these things go. All while I have an iPhone being delivered today at 3 o'clock. So I take my lunch, I go home at 3. I'm gonna receive this iPhone. It's me and my wife's iPhone. We're getting each other iPhones for Christmas. Long story short, I was driving my motorcycle, my iPhone fell out, cracked all over the place. Horrible time. So I'm waiting for this replacement, been waiting for weeks. Go home because I'm so worried, so stressed that when they're just gonna deliver an iPhone to a porch and just leave it? So I go home like, I'm gonna receive that. I'm gonna be sitting on the porch when this iPhone gets here. So I'm sitting on the porch, signed up for the text updates. Text update comes, says, your iPhone has been delivered. And I'm looking. I'm like, I'm here. Nothing on the porch. And I see the UPS truck. Well, it's a car. It was a personal delivery. And I see the car, and this lady, she kind of looks at me, and she just keeps driving. And I go, oh, no, she's stealing my iPhone. So this, God put me through it, you guys. I'm not playing. So I go full panic. I'm calling, making claims already. I've made 3 insurance claims. It's impossible to talk to UPS. They have automated systems, but I found my way there. Got to the local place. I said, hey, this lady just drove past my house, didn't drop off my iPhone, and it says it's delivered. What is going on? She needs to be fired. I'm going off. I went off. And I'm like, I'm taking my sons. We're sitting outside still. They're sitting on the back of our van, and I'm looking at myself again. I've caught myself in the same mode. I'm like, what are you doing? Justin, what are you doing? My sons are here watching me, and my son Ezra's like, Dad, what's going on? I go, they didn't deliver my package, and I got frustrated with how frustrated I got. Then finally, God says, Justin, you're losing control, aren't you? Justin, there's nothing you can do about this. I thought I can get on my bike right now and chase this girl down. I'm gonna be honest with you, it's a confession today. I could chase this girl down. But when I get there, God is still in control of my life, you guys. So I could get there and what I'm gonna say, ma'am, you didn't deliver my package. I don't have it in me to be rude anymore to someone's face like that. I just can't do it. I know some of you in here can testify. No matter how bad we get, we can't just go and let someone have it anymore, right? Jesus Christ is in control. But I thought about it. And when I finally came to my senses, God said, this is the very thing that you wanted to preach to people about. These are iPhones. Does it matter? Does it really matter? Does it matter? Is it more important than what you're about to go do? You should be prepping. Is it more important than that? And I had to come to my realization. I go, you know what? It's out of my control. I go, Ezra, let's pray. Let's pray this situation gets handled. So we pray right there in the car. I get to show my son prayer. It was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to teach my son, and here I am complaining. So we pray, go inside. I go, Cass, I'm going to have to just let it go. I'm sorry. We're probably not going to get our iPhones till after Christmas. I'm going to have to chill. And of course, my wife, I'll always brag, woman of God, she's like, I'm not even tripping. You're tripping. Like, you're the one. And I go, I'm done. I'm going to let it go. My phone rings in that moment. UPS calling me back saying, hey, the lady who dropped off your phone is going to, who lost your phone is going to come back and try to track it down and go to houses. She thinks she dropped off at the wrong house. In that moment, I had the thought immediately. I go, what if she just started working at UPS? And right then, my whole heart changed. My heart goes, this is about this girl. This is about her. So I'm going outside. I'm waiting. When I was in my frustration ball, I had told myself, they're gonna find my phone. the UPS is gonna hunt them down. They've done me wrong. And then she gets there, and I could see the remorse in her face. She goes, I'm so sorry. This is my second day on the job. I'm gonna track this down. They're telling me we can find this. I'm not even used to driving over here. I don't even know where I dropped off at. And I can tell you the houses you stopped at. I was watching you. and I go, I'm gonna help you find this. So now I went from God finally woke me up and said, J2, you represent me. So I'm going, okay, we're going to track this down. I go, you go hit that house. I hit that house. Me and my sons walking, knocking on neighbors. Hey, did you get a package? Is it here? Going through all these neighborhood houses. She's very great. How grateful she was after me snitching on her. And how great. She showed me up. I'm not going to lie. She showed me up. And so now we're all together in this hunting this phone down. I promise you we'll get to the point. We send her to a house with the same numbers as my address that's across the street behind us. She finds the iPhone. She comes back very happy and very grateful. And I said, God bless you. I said, I promise you, I'm sorry for how I acted. I'm going to call down and make sure you get a great report for helping, for coming back and making sure you track this down. I did the same method that I did because when I was mad, I had to call all these different numbers to finally get to the lady. And I go, and it's funny. This is a humble call, you guys. The same lady I just complained to. Like, hey, I just want to tell you how good this girl is. Your employees are amazing. And I gave her good kudos. I said, please let whoever her manager know how hard she tried to fix my iPhone. And that's when God said, that's what it is, J2. It's not about the items. It's about the people. It's about the people. This season is about the people. Do not stress yourself out. Do not, this life, do not stress yourself out trying to keep up with anyone around you. If you represent Christ, and there's a lot of people here, if you don't know Christ, we got a lot of people here that represents him. We are here to think about others, to think about others. And in what story, I'm going to go through some stories right now. No story is God going, here you go, here's a brand new PlayStation, and the person got saved. It's love. Love represented is what changes lives, is what got me here. So let's dig in and let's look into it. We are going to be in Matthew 26 throughout the day. But first, I want to start with this one verse. I want to keep this in mind. You Bible journals, write this down. Isaiah 64:8. Yet you, Lord, are the Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Can you put up my picture? This analogy, it's beautiful to me because in order for this pot to become something, the creator has to put its hands on it, get it dirty, and mold it, and mold it. And that's what Christ does for us, right? That's what this verse represents. Lets us mold us. And what I see in myself, if you've ever done this before for a date night, it's real fun. But you do it, and if you're a novice, you're holding it, and it's just flapping around like this. That's what I picture my walk with God looks like. It's just me flapping, and God's like, gosh, J2, get it together. Could you relate? I know you can. But letting go. Letting go of control is letting God, is stopping the flopping around and going, God, I'm going to let you mold me. I'm going to let you take the dirt, the filth that's on me. The potter's hands were clean. I'm going to let you take that. I'm going to let you take my filth, and I'm going to let you work with it and mold it into something that can be used, something that's worthy to be sold, something that's worthy to be praised. That's what he wants to do with your life, with you guys. But we hold on tight to control. We hold on tight to what we think we're supposed to do in this world. And I want to show you through the story of Jesus Christ's death. I want to take you guys there. The fact that the Savior of the world has been walking with these disciples, walking with the people we're going to look at in this story, telling them time after time after time, I'm going to die soon. I'm going to die soon. Please follow these instructions that I'm giving you. And time after time after time, it's forgotten. It's a second thought. We don't put him first. It's not something new. If you feel like I've heard the stories, J2, I've heard that God is good. I've heard it all. And I just haven't done it. Guess what? It happened back then. But it's time. It's time to wake up. At some point, these disciples wake up and change the world. It's what we read today. When is your time to wake up and accept and go, God, you're going to take control? When is it our time to go, God, what are you trying to work on with me? I'm going to give control over to you. Let's look at this. Matthew 26:6-13. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured onto his head as he was reclining at a table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why waste this?" they asked. "This perfume could be sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. She poured the perfume on my body. She did it to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world," think about where this happened. And Jesus said this, "Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world," years ago this was written, "what she has done will be told in memory of her." We're telling it from a stage right now, glorifying what she did. When God promises something, when he promises he's going to lift us up, when he promises if we exalt him, we will be exalted, he stands on that promise. Our job is to glorify the Lord through our actions. Our job is to glorify him. And when you do so, remember how faithful God is. God is faithful. God is faithful to us. When we glorify him, he will put you in a position to give him more glory every single time. Every single time. Now, in this story, the disciples are the one going, "Hey, that perfume's a little expensive. We could use that. We could even, for a good cause, we could use it to help the poor." But she, in a phrase being used nowadays, the youngsters in here will get it, she understood the assignment. Anyone get that? Some of y'all got that. She understood that Jesus Christ was Lord. Let's look at, define Lord. Pop Lord on here. Because some of us, this is where it gets real. Let's get real in here, classroom. I treat it like the youth group. Raise your hand if Jesus Christ is Lord. Raise your hand. Glorify him. Glorify him. You just heard. Don't miss this one. Someone or something having power, authority, or influence, a master or ruler. I'm going to say that again. Someone and very important or something. Something is always going to be Lord over your life. She knew that Jesus was Lord. You see, the disciples were still struggling. Disciples were still, they're worried about other things. They're worried about things they did not need to be worried about. Jesus was there. Jesus was with them. They had Jesus, but they were worried about other things. When I tell you, and this sounds so simple, Jesus wants you fully focused on him. They were focused on the poor. Think about how good that is. That's a good thing. That's a good deed. They were focused on the poor. Jesus wants you focused on him and him solely. Because when you're focused on him, when he wants you focused on the poor, he will lead you right to him, wherever they're at. When he wants you focused on him, on the Lord, praising and praying and worshiping, he'll have you doing that. There's a time for everything. That's why our eyes have to be on him. You could be so busy over here trying to feed the poor, and God's over here telling you need to be a better mother, that you need to be a better father. It's not time to feed the poor for you right now. It's time for you to get this together. We have to let Christ rule us. When we try to just do it by good deeds and doing good and good and good, guess what? That's you in control. That's not the Lord. We can't work our way there. We have to surrender, sacrifice, and let him lead. We're going to move forward in this story. I want to look at this because I have to jump to Luke, because when we make God Lord, when we make Jesus Christ Lord, there's a verse that Jesus says, "You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say." And I said something in the beginning, who deals with stress? And a lot of us have said we deal with it. And this was where my beating came, because I thought I was that person that doesn't deal with stress, but I do deal with stress. And we are wrong. We are literally wrong. They have found that stress kills a lot of people, that stress does damage to our body. This isn't just God trying to throw rules at us. Stress tears us apart. And he has done everything, including stepping on that cross and dying for all of us, so we don't have to have stress. We can't walk around here as stressful Christians. And if you're not a Christian in here, I know you have stress. Jesus came to remove that from you tonight. If you give it to him, he will take that stress. Imagine a peace of not having to worry anymore. Luke 12:22-31. Then Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, listen closely, church, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. Do they not sow or reap? They have no storeroom or no barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds?" This is what God is saying to all of us. "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" Think about that. "Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflower grows. They do not labor or spin, yet I will tell you, not even Solomon, the richest man in the Bible, in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you little of faith?" That's the way God hit me with it, "you little of faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." Look how he stresses it. "For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And leave that up there. I want you to understand that. You seek those things that we think we have to hold on to, like, "God, I have to eat, I have to drink, I have to make sure my family has clothes, I have to make sure we do all this. If I surrender and start serving, if I surrender and just start trying to praise your name, I'm gonna miss out. My family's gonna lack. My family's not gonna have it. I can't just follow you wholeheartedly, God. It's not practical." Who has said that to themselves? I know I have said that. I can't just fully do it like that. But he says you have to surrender, you have to let go, you have to wholeheartedly seek his kingdom. And when you do so, all these things will come to you. You guys, I must tell you again, I was jobless, just fresh kicked out of school when I decided I was going to wholeheartedly serve the Lord. No clue that being a pastor was in my future, no clue that God had a real plan for my life. But I knew that he told me to surrender everything. Surrender it all. Let him go. Let him be ruler of my life. Wake up in the morning. Read your word. What does your word say? Live it out. And that is literally how I lived the life. And in doing so, he created my whole life and everything I have. And now I can take no credit for it. I can only glorify him. I'm so far from special. Every chance I get up here, I will preach to you guys and beg you to surrender. I will beg you, if you think you have to do it a certain way, if you think you can't get off of drugs, if you think you're too broke to do something, if you think you can't father or mother your kids, if you think you can't forgive your father or mother or someone who's done something wrong to you, if you think those things are too much to overcome, guess what? Jesus has already overcame it. Done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You have to accept. You have to accept. We have to let go. Seek his kingdom. His kingdom has no stress in it. So if you're worrying and trying to keep your life together, that was what my struggle was. I was like, everybody wants me to go to school. Here I go. I'm going to go to school. Everybody wants me to party and do all that. So I'm going to go with them and do that. Just trying to figure a way to be something, be somebody. And all I had to do was give it all up, literally, and decide to follow his ways, because it's a simple solution, but so few decide to actually do it. So few. Now, Pastor Ron, being the good teacher that he taught us, at the very beginning of that Luke 12, 22 through 31, it says, "Therefore I tell you," which means it was referencing something before, and it's a parable in the Bible that I think gets missed. Parable, story used to get a point across, right? So Luke 12, 13 through 21, listen to this, and I want you to keep this in mind of when we are trying our hardest. I fell into this, and I'm finally out of it. I know you guys want to get your family gifts this year. I know you do. Some of you have to be humble like me. It took me years to get this and go, "I can't afford it. I can't." But for years, I used it as an excuse. It's not an excuse. You got to find a way to love on people. The gifts aren't the love. The way we love on them, you write a letter. You bring a meal, you go spend time with those ones that you love, and those things last longer than anything you're going to buy from that store. And what they also do is they don't stress you out over your bank account. Another challenge, those of you who have much, who have plenty, Christmas is not about you and your family. Christmas is about sharing the light, letting people know that Christ was born. So if you have plenty, there's kids that need help. There's kids that have the angel tree out there. There's Kicks for Kids. There's private schools here. There's all types of things that you can go and make sure you bless someone else for Christmas outside of your own circle. Because some of us wish we could do it and we can't. But that's why you guys have been put in the position that you're in. So there's a challenge to you guys too. If you don't have enough, I challenge you to find a way to make someone feel loved and get that reaction. We have that challenge for you guys. And I know some of you can think, if I could give the biggest gift ever, I could get a great reaction out of somebody. Yeah, but you can write a love letter to your mother that breaks her down. You can forgive somebody for your past that shocks the world. You have the power. But you have to surrender and let God do it. And that's where we stop it. That's where we hold it back. Now let's look into this story. Look at this. Luke 12, 13 through 21. I got to hurry up. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, I love this reply, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to him, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of abundance of possessions." Jesus Christ shows us how to be level-headed, be content right here. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there will be a store. Then I'll be able to store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Goals, right? But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then what will you get for what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Keeping up and stressing ourselves over material things will do nothing but make us rich here or the people we bless rich here when that's the focus. It said, be rich in the things towards God. Be rich in a giving heart. Give what you can as much as you can. Give yourself, give your time. You guys are literally the church. You are God's church. We are one of the biggest churches in Bakersfield. Therefore, we should be giving as one of the biggest churches in Bakersfield. We should have the largest amount, near the largest amount. There's a lot of big churches, near the largest amount of people serving. We should have near the largest amount of people greeting in the parking lot, near the largest amount of ushers, near the largest amount of worship leaders, of singers, of children, volunteers. That's what we should have. We should be givers. We are going into the new year. And you need to surrender whatever your own desires are. I need you to trust me. Surrender what your own desires are and go, God, what do you want me to do? For some of you in this building, you've been sitting here, you've been listening to me preach, and you already know it. God just wants you to actually accept him as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to say, God, you are Lord. Some of you know, some of you watch it. I'm not going to sugarcoat around it. You know that you're supposed to be serving in this church. I am here to try to bring change to us, to try to bring change to Valley Bible, to make this place a light of the world. And I can't do it. You guys can. It takes us. But I'm telling you, the devil's going to give you every excuse in the book. He's going to throw everything at you to let you know that you can't do this, that you don't have the time to serve, you don't have the money to give, and you don't have anything to offer. But it's a lie. You call it out and you walk through boldly and go, I'm going to be used by God. I surrender my own thoughts. I'm going to be used by him. I have to tell you the ploy that the devil tried to use to stop me from preaching today. There's a text that went out to a couple of us on staff. It was from a computer-generated number, and this was as I was prepping before the iPhone story took place. As I'm prepping, I get a bling on my phone, and I look. Computer number, random, like 9 digits, hypocrite. And I look at it, and I go, well, dang, this person, I don't know what I did. but someone who knows my number. So I responded. I said, God bless you. Please blame myself and not God for however I hurt you. I'm not perfect. God bless. Left it as that. Because there could have been someone I shunned, but I come to find out it was sent to multiple people and a couple other people and staff. So, but that hypocrite stuck out to me. I started praying instantly. It hit me. I go, God, am I a hypocrite? Like, I know I fail sometimes. Does that make me a hypocrite? And I know some of you guys are there and have been there with your walk. Like, am I even a Christian? And I'm praying to God. I'm like, God, is this me? I promise I'm surrendered to you. Show me if I need to change something, if I need to be better in any area. Show me. And then that iPhone story happened. And God showed me where he showed me, where he's given me grace. And he has the same grace for each and every one here. That iPhone story, I started off acting like my old self. And then the Holy Spirit came in and responded as the Holy Spirit does. And God says, son, you're not a hypocrite. You just need me. You guys, you're not failures. You're not a drug addict. You're not a bad mother. You're not a bad father. You're not anything. You just need Jesus. And when you get Jesus, you're unstoppable. I can't wait to see what he can do in some of our lives. I can't wait. It's going to be crazy. Now, look, you have to surrender. This is the final part of Jesus' death. We're going to get there, I promise. I want to jump. I want to jump to Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over and pray. He took Peter and John, the two sons of Zebedee, along with him and began to feel sorrowful and troubled. That's where I was at, you guys, sorrowful and troubled when I'm stressing, when I'm worried. I feel that. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Once again, Jesus Christ, I'm going to say that saying again. He understood the assignment. He did not want to go and die on the cross. That thing I've been bragging on him about, that he died for us and every single person out here, Jesus did not want to go through that pain. But God said, Jesus, you're not in control. I am. And Jesus understood and said, okay, not what I want, what you want, God. Some of you want to walk out here the exact same. Some of you want to walk out here and go back to your same problems, go back to the same drugs, the same alcohol, same pornography, same anger, same frustration, same unforgiveness. But that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to walk out of here brand new, renewed, changed, and serving him. You have the choice. Now look at Peter. Continue on. I'm going to jump to Matthew 26, 47, you guys. Sorry, I jumped ahead. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him, a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. That's Judas having Jesus arrested. Going at once, Jesus, Judas said, greeting Rabbi, and kissed him. Being kissed by the very one who sold you out to death, it irks me. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out with a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw by the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? Once again, Jesus is trusting God's way. They say it must happen this way. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. Jesus was so wise. But this had all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Jesus is taken away in that moment. But I want to focus on Peter, who was that companion, who jumped up and cut off the ear. And I want you to listen to this. This is one of my final points. I used to fight. I was a fighter. My control issues come out, and if I feel like I'm out of control, I will try to manipulate. I will try to do whatever I can to regain control in the situation. That's the natural response. When my iPhone did not show up, I tried everything to do to get my control to get that iPhone found, but it wouldn't have ever happened until I called on the Lord and had him get involved, right? Peter gets told directly by Jesus, if you continue to live this way, you're going to die from this. If you continue to fight and try to control this, if you continue to try to go forward with anger and you be the big brute man that you think you are, if you continue like this, that's how you're going to go out. And I'm here to tell you guys, some of you in here, if you continue to live the life that you're living, it leads to death. It leads to not only death here. Don't just be death here isn't even scary anymore. It leads to an eternal life without Christ. Jesus came. Jesus came and said, I see who you are. I see your flaws. I see your struggles. I see your pride. I see your issues. And I have died for that still. All I need you to do is just let it go. All I need you to do is let your life go. Can someone in here do that today? Final story of a kid in the youth group who is a walking example of Christ's transformation. He's a kid that came. He gets kicked out of school all the time. He gets sent to the principal's office. He fights all the time. He's a fighter. We were at a youth event, and a grown man, this kid is about yay shorter than me. He's an eighth grader, this tall, about twice the size of me. He could beat me up in a second. So a man at this Six Flags event kind of looked at him and said something to him snarky and started yelling at one of our kids. So one of our leaders comes and grabs us and say, hey, one of our kids is getting yelled at right now. And so we get over there. I guess it kind of died down. And I go, what happened? He goes, the dude was getting in my face saying I crowded his kid or whatever. And I said, he said, you want a fighter, this and that? And I said, can I pray with you? And I go, good job. Apparently that made the dude mad. So me and John L. Ward, the Kicks for Kids CEO guy, he was around church all the time. You got a lot of people know him. We go and track this guy. We're like, hey, we're going to tell this dude, that's a kid you're talking to, and you don't ever talk to one of our kids like that. So we go and track this dude down, and of course, we give him a little tap on the shoulder. He turns to two people looking like me, and he goes, oh! And I go, hey, did you talk to one of our kids? He goes, no, I don't think it was one of your kids. I go, no, it's probably one of my kids. And we calm the conversation down. We calm the man down. We just let him know, hey, he's with us. And if you got a problem with him, you have to go through us. And we don't want you talking to him anymore. Let him know in a stern way. But I say that because you parents who send them back there with us, just know when we're with your kids, we have the same protection that you would have over your kids. But I got to tell Reed something. I told him this. I said, hey, I love how you responded by asking him, could you pray for him? That shows the change. But I want to let you know this. You used to have to fight. You used to have to fight for everything, to prove yourself, to prove your worth. You are now with Jesus, and you are now with a youth group. You don't have to prove anything anymore. You're with us. We fight for you. Jesus fights for you. His transformation is becoming more and more complete as we go. The kid is changing. It's amazing to watch. And I want to use him as an example for you guys out there. You don't have to fight to pay your bills. You don't have to fight to be this better person. You don't have to fight to get off drugs. What I had to do was just let go. Cold turkey. Doctors even told me it was dangerous, that how much I was drinking and how I just stopped like that. Doctor said it was dangerous. And I'm like, I'm laughing in their face like, ha, it's dangerous if I didn't stop. You don't have to. You can give up the fight, but you have to lay it down and finally be humble enough to go, God, I don't have this life figured out. That was one of the hardest steps for me to go, you know what? I don't get it. You know, I've tried everything and I'm a failure. And that's where a lot of us stop at because we've strived so hard. We've worked our whole lives. We've tried to please people. We've tried to impress our parents. We've tried to do so many things and we failed at it. And God just wants you to go, I know, but I can make you succeed. I can get you there. Give up your life. I have three questions I wanted to ask you guys. Can you pop that verse up there and we are out of here? Write these down. These are what I go to constantly. You'll see these a couple of times when I'm up here. These questions are important. Is there anything God wants me to start doing? Ask yourself this daily. Ask yourself this monthly if you have to. Is there anything God wants me to stop doing? This will help you get through this life. And is there is any reason not to do what God wants? These questions will help you. I'm telling you, you wake up and you go, God, is there anything today you want me to start doing? Do I start serving in the ministry? Do I start doing this? Do I go and give my family something? I will remind you guys again. God woke me up one day, and it's a very similar prayer to this, and he said, go take your sister a gas card and some food. Weird request. My sister had never accepted the Lord. She accepted the Lord after. She was ready to go. She was ready. It was the one thing that like got her going to church. It was a weird day that he woke me up and said that, but you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the controller of your morning, of your life, of your day. And the harder one, is there anything he wants you to stop doing? Guess what? It already popped in your head. That's it. You know it. I don't have to call it out. When I said that, is there anything God wants me to stop doing? Some of you guys went, oh, drinking, oh, smoking, oh, this, oh, I've been going off with anger. You already know. God's been speaking to you, and he is patient to walk with you through that. And is there any reason not to do what God wants? If God wants you to serve, I want you to tell me right now a good reason to not go get involved in the ministry. God wants you to start a Bible study. I want you to give me, you walk up here, give me a good reason why you shouldn't be in a Bible study, be in church weekly, why you shouldn't forgive whoever you're holding on to that unforgiveness. Give me a good reason. That's a great question. There's not one. God's way works every single time. He's made a straight and narrow path for you to follow. You just got to jump on and ride it, okay? So please, as I pray, don't leave here today. If you don't, there will be a prayer team up here. They'll come pray with you, walk you through it. I'm going to go in the back real quick, grab a water. And I'll be standing right down here if you guys want to pray. It's that simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And we pray right now that if anyone's holding on to something, holding on to hurt, holding on to pain, holding on to addictions, holding on to whatever it is that is stopping them from grabbing and clinging onto you. We break that barrier down in the name of Jesus. We ask that people are set free right now. Anyone who accepts prayer, anyone who speaks directly to you and says, I'm done, that you honor it and you help them and you guide them and you give them a route that steers them away from that path of destruction. Satan, we bind you up in the name of Jesus from everything that you've done to try to harm or take away, steal, kill, and destroy the plans that God has for all the people who attend and call Valley Bible Fellowship home. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that your spirit goes out and you start changing lives, that we go into this new year changed, that we go into this new year wanting to serve you and being people who shine and show your glory. We thank you right now. Let no one leave here the same. In Jesus' name, everyone said, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.